Glad you can join us for Hope at Home today. I'm Willie Oliver.
And I'm Elaine Oliver. For many weeks, we have been battling the coronavirus, and some of us have now been experiencing the loosening up of some of the restrictions and the quarantine. So we want you to remember to continue your social distancing, wearing your masks, washing your hands, and doing all the other things that will help to stop the spread of the virus. But we've also experienced something else in the last few weeks, and that is the virus of racism.
Discussions about race and racism are difficult for most adults, and it's even more difficult to talk to our children about this topic. These conversations, however, are absolutely necessary to have with young children. And also, as children grow older, the older they become, the more we need to have these conversations with them.
So today, we will discuss the responsibility and opportunity that we, Christian parents, have to teach our children on how to appreciate the beautiful diversity of all God's children. But before we get into our topic, let's pray.
Let's pray.
Dear God, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you that you have created us in your image, all of us, black and white and brown and all the colors in between. We are so grateful that you, in your infinite mercy, thought to create such a beautiful palette of humanity.
And today we pray for everyone, for ourselves, for those who are listening, that we will internalize the love of Jesus that we find in the Bible, and that by so doing, be able to love all of your creation as our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we want to share with you an incident that happened many years ago to our daughter, and it happened during her first week of school. In fact, it was her first day of school in a place where we had just relocated when she was in the first grade. So during recess, our happy little girl was told by another girl that she only wanted to play with white people. Now, as our daughter nonchalantly recounted this event during dinner that evening, she quickly added that Calvin, a little white boy, came to her rescue and said, "We like Jessica, and she can play with us." Immediately, I thought to myself, I must find out who Calvin's parents are.
Of course, we were delighted and quite proud about the way our six-year-old daughter handled the incident. Yet, at the same time, we were trying to not let her and her three-year-old brother witness how angry and hurt we were that our children had to confront the ugly face of racism at such an early age. Of course, we made sure to affirm our daughter for how well she had handled the situation and empowered her by reminding her that God had made her beautiful and she should pray for the little girl who attempted to marginalize her. Of course, our daughter added that it was the other little girl's loss not to have her to play with.
Yeah, I say to that, that's our girl. I always was just so impressed with how confident she was as a child and continues to be today as a young woman. So going back to Calvin, the reason why I wanted to know who Calvin's parents were was because I knew that this child had to have parents who were teaching him how to love all people, regardless of the color of their skin. They also had to be teaching him how to defend those who needed to be defended. And he took a risk that day on the playground. We later had the privilege of meeting Calvin's parents and developed a wonderful friendship with them. We also went to the school the following day and addressed the incident with the principal and the teacher. We requested that the little girl not be punished. At the same time, we encouraged the other little girl, that is. At the same time, we encouraged the school to integrate diversity education into the learning process for both teachers and students.
Parents and teachers play a critical role in helping children of all ages develop positive attitudes about race and diversity and to develop skills to promote a more just future for all of us. But we have to talk about it. Adults often worry that talking about race will encourage racial bias in their children. But the opposite is true. When it comes to issues of race, silence is not golden. Of course, there are other forms of discrimination, and they are all ugly. But today, we want to focus primarily on racism because it is the reason our screens are filled with protesters all over the world today, and it is still very much a reality. More than 20 years since our daughter had her first real encounter with the horrible virus of racism.
Indeed, indeed. Silence about race reinforces racism by letting children draw their own conclusions based on what they see. Children are going to internalize what they see, and they interpret it by the behaviors and the attitudes around them. And so it's important for us as parents to intercept that by sharing and talking to our children about what is happening around them. There are studies that show that at birth, babies look equally at the faces of all races. So they don't see race. However, by the time they are 3 months old, babies look more at the faces that match the race of their caregivers. And so they're basically saying they look at the race of their parents, and they begin to show a deference, a preference for the people who look the same as them. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly normal. By kindergarten, children begin to show many of the same racial attitudes of the adults in their culture or their homes or the society around them. For instance, they learn how to associate some groups with higher status and other groups with lower status. So it's important for us as parents to change our attitude and the way we behave towards people of other races. We need to be sure that we are behaving equally towards all races. And this will positively influence our children to treat all people the same. As we reflect on our daughter's incident, once Calvin took a stand by defending Jessica, the same little girl that said she didn't want to play with her subsequently asked Jessica to come and play with them.
While changing our attitudes can make a big difference, having direct conversations with our children about race is very important. You can't avoid these important conversations. When we talk about issues, we convey to our children how important they are. When we don't talk about certain important issues that are obviously happening around them, we convey to our children that these are things they don't have to worry about. Studies have shown that having explicit conversations with 5 to 7 year olds about interracial friendships can dramatically improve their racial attitudes in as little as a single week. Imagine that, a single week. Children and adults can unlearn faulty thinking and behavior. As Christian parents, we have an even greater responsibility to teach our children to be responsible. To be responsible, to be kind, to appreciate God's beautiful diversity of all his children. We recognize that talking about race is difficult for most adults, and even more difficult to have that conversation with children. Still, we must find ways to first educate ourselves with serious diversity training. If we've never heard about diversity training, let's just Google that and see where we can find some of that training. Oh, we can read books. We can attend workshops. But it is not difficult if we really are interested in having a better understanding of race and race relationships than we were raised with. Perhaps our parents didn't take the time to speak because of their fear, but we no longer can hold on to that position of lack of knowledge. We must be intentional about learning. Then engage in meaningful conversations about race with our children, because children will learn not only by what we say, but they will also learn by what we don't say. The unspoken messages, our body language, our attitudes, when there are people of certain races in the neighborhood or on television or who present themselves, the way we behave, the way we act towards them, the words we use, the conversations we have about them at our dinner tables are developing a picture in their mind about what is appropriate behavior with someone from a different race.
Wow. It sounds like we have a big task ahead of us as parents. I think some of the older folks can learn from this as well. But the reason why we focus so much on parents is because we are raising the next generation. And what type of future do we want our children and grandchildren to grow up in? Do we want a society that respects and regards all of God's children
and
values them? So the truth is, most parents of children of color are forced to have this conversation with their children at a very early age, sadly, because of incidents such as what happened to our daughter. And the earlier we begin these conversations, the better. Of course, we need to be sure that it's being done at an age-appropriate level. For instance, preschool children are usually filled with enthusiasm, energy, and an ability to like people and to make friends with everyone. You know, one of my favorite groups of kids to work with is four-year-olds and five-year-olds. They're so pure. They're so honest. You know, I remember our son, when he went to kindergarten, I remember his kindergarten teacher telling me one day, I think we both went that day to pick him up from school. And the teacher said, "Your son is so funny. He has such a great sense of humor." So they were out on the playground and apparently the wind was blowing that day and her hair got tousled. And so our son pulled her aside, the teacher that is, when they came inside, and he said to her very quietly and discreetly, "You know, Mrs. Smith, let's say, do you have a hairbrush?" You know, he didn't say your hair is a mess or anything like that. Yeah. He just asked her if she had a hairbrush. Yeah. And so there, when it comes to children of that age, they're so pure. Distrust, apprehension, distress, and antagonism based on race are not inherent in their natures, which means they are learning these behaviors. Now, that's to be differentiated from what we said earlier. The fact that a child recognizes difference is totally different than acting differently because someone is different. So that's the behavior that's learned. So whatever we do at this stage of life to help children have an attitude of openness to individuals who are different than themselves will, as you said earlier, have a lasting effect.
You know, Elaine said just a little while ago, as she started speaking, that parents need to teach and talk to their children about race and at different levels, depending on how old they are. She also said that people of color have no choice but to speak to their children about these issues. We all have had that conversation, Elaine, as we were growing up. I'll give you an example. Every parent of color, black parent, brown parent, perhaps, have spoken to their children about what to do when they begin to drive. And if they get stopped by the police, to make sure that their hands are visible on the steering wheel, to not talk back, to not make any sudden moves, because we want our children to remain alive. So as parents of color, we've had to have these conversations with our children. Of course, the majority society, the dominant class, at least in the United States and in Europe, we may not even think about these issues. It's not something we think about. It is not something we have to worry about. But we have to be aware of the fact that other people are worrying about it because of systemic racism in our society and societies around the world. An age-appropriate way to introduce conversations about race is by the visual images around our home, such as pictures, books, and of course, toys. Children are very visually oriented and often absorb their values from pictures and other things around the home. It is important then for children to experience a variety of cultures, of skin colors, racial features, and diverse images that communicate, I'm okay, you're okay, that kind of feeling. So it's a education that conveys we're all okay. Mm-hmm. It's not good and bad. There's no race that is good and a race that is bad. People are good in all races. Mm-hmm. They're kind people and not so kind people. They are gentle people and they are honest people in every race. It is not race that makes the difference in the individual. It is the values. It is the values. They are the values of the individual. So it is also very important for children whose race may not often be affirmed by society at large to have pictures and images in their homes that validate and reinforce a positive impression about their race and culture. I remember when I was a little boy, my sisters had dolls. And to be sure, there were not black dolls anywhere that you can buy. Thankfully, that has changed over the last 20, 30 years, even 40 years. And yet, we're still dealing with some of these issues where children of color, black children, are not seeing themselves in society. The more we can have that happen by public officials and leaders in the church and others, the easier it's going to be for all of us to feel that we're part of the same family and to value each other and recognize that we're all created by God, children of God.
You know, that's really wonderful that you mentioned the thing about dolls, because there's a wonderful doll company that actually makes dolls that look exactly like the child. Yes. So it doesn't matter what your skin tone is or skin color or hair color, you can actually go have a doll made that looks exactly like you. And that, I think, is so important. And then you can also buy dolls of different races.
Absolutely.
for your children to play with. So let me give another example of what a conversation might look like at different stages. We mentioned preschool before. I'll mention it again. A wonderful thing to do for your preschool kids is to get books that show a diversity of people. So when you buy books, look for those books that have diversity on them. Remember, children recognize differences, but they develop biases based on the adults around them. So read the kinds of books that read these kinds of books with your children, where we're talking about how people are different and yet they're the same. And you can say something like, we are all different on the outside, such as this little girl has white skin and this little girl has curly hair. This little boy has glasses, but on the outside, on the inside,
we're all the same.
And God loves us all the same. That's it. That's really all you need to say for a preschooler. That's all they need to know. And they will internalize healthy and positive messages about difference. Now, if you're dealing with school-age children, you can have the same conversation, but you want to step it up a little bit. And you can say something like, you know, we're all different and we should never treat people differently because of the color of their skin or what country their families are from or what language they speak or if it seems that their accent is not the same as your own. We shouldn't treat them differently. We shouldn't assume that they're not smart because they don't speak your language. Because guess what?
You
don't speak their language.
That's right.
So we always need to remember that.
One of the things that is very common in American society, and it's found in cultures around our country, is that people like to say when they hear people from different places, you have an accent. Well, you know what? Everybody has an accent. Everybody does. So when you say you have an accent, you're really, it's a marginalizing statement that is saying to that individual, you're different. And the truth of the matter is we're all really the same. Usually your child may ask more questions. However, if they don't, especially during these times of protests, you might continue the conversation by saying, it's sad that Black people are being treated differently because of the color of their skin, and that's not okay. This is a good time to talk about your family values and what your family stands for. Remind your child that your family does not tolerate bad treatment of anyone, and especially not because of the color of their skin. Ask them, would you like someone to treat you badly because of the color of your skin? Remind them that the Bible says, love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12.
Some parents have asked if conversations about race can traumatize children. From a therapeutic perspective, the answer is no. Conversations don't traumatize children. Imagine going to a flower shop and not noticing the different colors or the types of flowers or roses. It is not necessary for you to not see someone's color or race to love them. You know, sometimes I hear people say, oh, I don't see your color. Oh, it's perfectly fine for you to notice my dark chocolate skin.
We're not blind.
You know, that's perfectly fine. Just like it's perfectly fine for me to notice someone's curly blonde hair or red hair or freckles. It's perfectly fine. What is traumatizing is discrimination. Seeing someone harmed because of the color of their skin or the color of their hair or their size or any other differentiating characteristic that they may have. When these incidents happen, parents have an incredible opportunity to discuss fairness with their children. It is a good opportunity to teach your children, again, in an age-appropriate way, to intervene if they see injustice and prejudice. If it is not safe for your child to say something at the time, they should be encouraged to report it to their teacher, principal, or other responsible adult. If you see something, say something. Parents also need to model for their children by not ignoring seemingly benign comments from friends and family members that belittle people of other races.
Another parent asks, what should I say to my children or my child or my teenager who is frightened by the killing of George Floyd or others? Parents, this is a time to stay in control. First, pray and ask God for peace and wisdom. Then show empathy for the situation. If you're not a person of color, don't feel guilty, ashamed, or defensive. Just do what any follower of Christ is asked to do. As Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression. Discuss ways in which you can be a part of the solution to make sure that injustices against people of color or anyone else stops.
So how should a parent explain why people are protesting? First, you need to know your history, whether you're in the United States or other countries. Some people who have been a part of the privileged race will say they have never experienced prejudice or racism. However, if you study the history of most countries, unfortunately, discrimination has been a part of the system for a long time. This is true for countries around the world. Despite hearing people say such things didn't happen in their country, they probably did. So share with your child a little bit of the history of oppression and let them know that the people who are oppressed are tired of being oppressed. A wonderful way to explain this is the story of Moses and Aaron delivering the children of Israel from Egypt. The Israelites were slaves and Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. God orchestrated some events and the Israelites then had a peaceful protest leaving Egypt.
I would also say that if you really want to teach your children how to be empathic, compassionate, and kind human beings, you need to be empathic, compassionate, and kind as a parent. In regards to the current protests around the world, stop for a minute and think about why people are protesting. Something terrible has happened. A man was treated inhumanely. In fact, we wouldn't even want to treat an animal that way. Too often, people want to talk about what is easier, such as the protests or the rioting. But the real issue here is systemic racism.
There are more questions than we have time to answer. However, we hope all of us will be determined to glorify God and reflect his image in our homes and in our communities.
John 13:35 declares, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Our prayer is that we will all develop a heart for those that are marginalized and oppressed all over the world. And may we determine by the grace of God to be instruments of justice and peace. Thank you for joining us.
God bless you.